Well, good morning. Nice to see you here today. We're glad that you've joined us here at First Church. I want to start this morning by talking to you about favorites. You know, what are your favorites? For example, if I told you that I had the breakfast of champions this morning, what do you think I ate? No, actually, I had a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle from McDonald's. Okay, that's the breakfast of champions. You know, I love those things, man. You ever had one? $3.81 right down here at the drive-thru, okay? They will, you will never look at breakfast the same. It's really cool because it's, you want to eat in moderation, you know, two small pancakes, okay? And then in between that, you got a sausage patty and you have eggs and then you have cheese. There's your dairy. Okay, and my doctor told me that I needed to limit myself to 1,500 calories, and so I've been eating that for breakfast, for lunch, and dinner, and that's 500 calories each, 1,500 calories, there you go, right? I should be totally healthy here before too long. That's one of my favorites, so I'm telling you, that's awesome. And this is kind of a confession, and I know all you men here this morning, you'll never look at me the same, or maybe you never did, but hey guys, how many of you love the show This Is Us? Come on, let's raise your hands. How many of the ladies love the show This Is Us? Isn't that show awesome? You know, my niece called me the other day. She said, Uncle John, she said, could I change my name to Pearson? She's like in love with the show. And Arlene got me into this show. And I've never, you know, I spend my Tuesday nights now crying, you know, for these, for the big three, right? If you don't watch that, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And, you know, that's okay, I guess. That's one of my favorites, though, you know. Aren't you glad that you were raised in the era of the DVR? Oh man, it changed television forever. You know, some years ago I actually recorded the British Open golf tournament because I wanted to see it. It's on early in the morning on Sunday. So I taped it on one of those VHS tapes, you know, that had like 8 hours of tape on it. And I went home and I'm watching it on the TV. And I'm not kidding you, it got down to the end and this guy had a 10-foot putt to win the British Open. Blip, quit. That was the end of the tape. I'm like, are you kidding me? I took the tape out of it and I just smashed it right there on the floor. It was like, I couldn't believe it. But the DVR, you know, it's like, you know, it's incredible. I just love it. One of my favorites. You know, the guys, we get together on watching football sometimes. I'm looking for Casey Browse. She's not here this morning. Maybe she'll be here next service. Casey brings these stuffed peppers. Oh my goodness. They're like awesome. I don't know what's in them, but it's 2 ounces of goodness inside of a pepper that you just eat. And it is. I'm going to tell her to bring them for the whole church next week. So you come next week, and Casey Browse is going to have hot peppers, stuffed hot peppers for everybody. Julie, corn chowder. How about it? You make it for me, right? I've called Julie from the grocery store asking her for the recipe, and then I said, you know, just make it for me occasionally. You know, I just really, really like it. Favorites. What are your favorites? We all have things that we just love. You know, as a Christian, God gives us some really good word from our text today, that really starts in this whole idea of Genesis, you know, because we're going to be talking today about how we are made for God. You know, how God intended for us to have a relationship with Him for all of eternity. Now, sin broke that. But then God, through the redemption, through Christ, He restored that. So we have this beautiful relationship where we can go to Him, where He intercedes for us, where He gives us strength and His Spirit lives within us, and that we're made for a relationship with God. We're made in His image. And that when this life is over, God intends for this relationship that we have with Him to go on for all of eternity. We're made for God. Now, let me give you an example of this from the story of creation. Because you'll see these words over and over and over again in the story of creation. You know, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, almost every verse it says, then God said, let there be light. Then God said, then God said, then God said. In chapter 2, it's like then God. You know, that God did something, that God said something, that God altered something. And wherever you see these words or some variation of them in the creation story, here's what it shows you. It shows you the intentionality of God. That what happened with man and the redemption of man was always God's intention. That God did not intend for us to be separated from His presence by our own sin for all of eternity. That we are made for God. That we are to bring glory and honor to Him our whole lives and then for all of eternity. And regardless of where we are or who we are today, we must understand that God is really intentional. Not only about how He created us in His image, but also how He redeemed us through the person of Jesus. You know, you ever notice in the Bible how it talks about how not a bird falls from the air, falls from the sky without God knowing it? That God knows the numbers of hairs on your head. Now, that's a larger number for some of you than some others, you know. But how God knows our days, that our days are numbered. And God knows our beginning and God knows the end. But here's the thing, folks. As we live in life, we God wants us to be intentional about understanding how intentional He was for us. You know, a couple weeks ago, I had to go to the dentist. I have a new dentist. My dentist retired after many years, and I went to this new dentist. It was my second visit. And when I went there the first time, this nice lady helped me at the front desk. And, you know, I mentally tried to remember her name because, in my mind, anybody that works at a dentist's office, they just want to torture you. So in my mind, I got to remember this lady's name so that I can be nice for her and I can bring her flowers and buy her chocolates and maybe they won't be so mean and awful to me. So I remembered this lady's name. So I went in for the second visit and I walked into the door. I said, "Hey, Heather, how are you doing?" And she looked up at me like, "You know my name." So I went back and, you know, I get in the chair and you know, and the lady comes in that's going to clean my teeth, and I remember her from the time before, and she walked in, and even though she had a mask on, I said, "Betsy, how are you today?" And she was like, you know, in my mind, I'm just trying to keep them from like you know, tying me to a rack and pulling my limbs apart. But in their mind, they're like really really touched that I would know their name. Listen, folks, I want you to know today that God knows your name. That God created you in His image. That God redeemed you and saved you and would have saved you and redeemed you if you were the only one in need of that redemption. And when you read in the Old Testament, in the story of creation, how God did this, God said that, God made this to happen, that God was very intentional to make His will become a reality. But then after that is over, He asks something of us. And you know, in my heart of hearts, it should be something that's easy, right? I mean, certainly loving God as God intends for us to love Him. That loving God should be something that is very easy for me and for you. But for a lot of times, it's not so easy. You know, we know what God has done for us. We know that God has loved us. We know that God has redeemed us. God has a place for us for all of eternity in heaven. And you know what? God, He asked for us in return to love Him back. You know, we always say here about how we want you to know that you matter to God. And then we want to help you to live a life that shows that God matters to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6 was a passage of scripture that was very important. in the life of every person that was a part of the family of God, the Hebrew people. It says, and I've got it here for you, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That the essential thing, the essential response that we must give back to God in response to Him loving us, Him creating us, Him redeeming us through His Son, is that we must love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. So let me ask you today, is your heart divided? With all your heart, a divided heart is idolatry, right? What's the first commandment? That we should have no other gods before us. What was the principal sin of the Hebrew people when Moses was up on the mountain? It was idolatry. They when they were in the presence of Moses and and God's spirit was near, but when Moses left their presence or when they feel like that God had abandoned them, it was so easy for their heart to be divided. And all of a sudden they're following other gods, they're following other teachings. You know, with all your soul. Think about it, your soul is the part of you that will live forever. And God says that every bit of your soul should be given intentionally back to Him. With all your strength, everything that we are should be used to love and to care about God. Let me show you something here that a lot of people don't realize and miss. Let me give you this passage in a little bit different way. This is I put in parentheses here a couple of Hebrew words. And this is what it says. It says that you must love the Lord. The word there is Yahweh. Yahweh, right? It was God's name. Yahweh was the one true God. He was the only God. Yahweh. Yahweh was the one, that sent Moses to Egypt. They want to know who sent you? Yahweh sent you, the one true God. And then look at this. He says, you must love the Lord, your God. And the word there is used is Elohim. Here's the thing, and this is a small thing, but I think it's something that illustrates a much finer and a bigger point for me and you as a Christian, that we must love Yahweh, the one true God. We must love the Lord and your God. The word there is Elohim. You see, the Hebrew people understood that in their day and time, and even today, that there were many Elohims. There's only one Yahweh, the one true God. But there are many Elohims. There are many spirits. There are many powers. You know, Jesus actually said of the Pharisees that the devil is your father. He said that the devil is the prince of this world. Paul said that we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against the principalities and the powers of the air. The devil is real. Demons are real. Other spirits are real. And he's saying here that we have got to love our God, our Lord, Yahweh, above all the other gods, because He is our God and He is the only true God. Now think about that, folks. Do we live in such a way that the world would look at our lives and know that we are a Christian, that we believe in God, Yahweh, above every other power of this earth, and that we give unto Him all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength? You know, I love the way the Message, the contemporary paraphrase of the word, I love the way it phrases this particular verse when it says that we're to love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love Him with all that's in you. Love Him with all you've got. Now, how many of us here today, how many of us love God with all we've got? How many of us love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength? You know, sometimes we're like the husband who loves his wife. But occasionally when he goes out into public and he thinks that he might see someone or come across someone else, he just nonchalantly slips his wedding ring off his finger and puts it in his pocket. Sometimes we're like that husband when we go out into the world. I mean, we love God. We're a part of His family. We know the commitment. We know the covenant that we've made to Him and that He's made to us. And we love it that He's made us these promises. But sometimes when we go out into the world, we kind of just slip the ring off of our finger. Because we want to live a little bit different when we're out there. You know, how many of us do that? You know, just this past week, I was saying to a friend of mine after first service, because this is so true, I have a gas fireplace in our basement, and it's run by a thermostat that's not programmable. You just go down there, it's a little chilly, you flip it on, and, you know, it gets real nice and toasty, and then when you leave, you just flip it back off. And this thermostat was really having a bad problem, and I thought it was the batteries, and I looked, it wasn't the batteries, so I went and got a new thermostat, you know, just a kind of a basic, cheap, non-programmable thermostat. And, you know, my first mistake was like, I can do this, you know. So I went home, and I pulled the thermostat off the wall, and I took the new one out of the box, and I saw this little thing that said, pull here. And I pulled, and man, I just couldn't get, I'm pulling, and I finally, I just pulled the whole thing apart. Just, you know, stuff fell out. Transistors fell on the floor. It was like, and my first thought was, I got to take that back. It's broke. And then I thought, you know what, John, is your integrity worth $23? I mean, isn't it easy to think one way and then all of a sudden get in a situation where you think totally some other way, the ways that the world, the way the devil would think? We need to be able to live in such a way that we give God all we've got. You know, I recently heard someone answer the question of why there's so much evil in the world. Now, the question was posed to him was, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? Why are children hurt or harmed or even murdered? You know, why does somebody take a gun and kill just, you know, dozens and dozens of total strangers? Why is this kind of stuff happening? Where is God? Why doesn't God do something? I love this man's answer because I'd never thought about it. He said, you know what? He said, if Christians, if believers were fulfilling the vision and the passion that God would have for their life, he said, this world would be so much better. Think about that. I mean, could it be that a lot of things that are going on in this world that are bad and wrong and evil are actually happening because good people, Christian people, are not fulfilling the vision and the ministry and the passion that God has for them in their life? I mean, could it be that a lot of this stuff goes on because we are not loving God with our whole heart or with our soul, with our mind, with our strength? I mean, could it be that that's why our world is in the shape that it's in? I mean, how would your life and how would our world be different if we recognize this truth that we're made for God? And that all the things that God has done for us, He only asks one thing in return, and that's that we love Him. Love him with all our heart, not a divided heart. Love him with all our soul, not a divided soul. With all of our strength, that we don't divide our strength among the many gods of this world, that we are his. I love this quote. It says, do you know that nothing you do in this life will ever matter unless it is about loving God and loving the people that he has made? Nothing that we do in this life will ever matter unless it's about loving God and loving the people that he has made. Because you know what? If we're not loving the people that God has made, are we really loving God? You know, the New Testament says, how can we say? How can we say that we love God when we don't even love the people that we can see? How can we say we love God whom we can't see and we don't love those that we can see? You see, folks, the greatest example of the fact that we love God and that we honor him for this life and redemption that he's given to us is that we love him back. So think about this, loving God. What does that look like? I mean, what are the things in life that would tell the world that we love God? Let me just throw out three things to you. Number one is our time. You know, have you ever noticed how the urgency of and the tyranny of the urgent in life takes away from things that we know that are important? Our time. The number one thing that shows what is most important in your life is what you spend your time on. Have you ever noticed, for example, I don't know how many of you were in that game or at the game yesterday at Penn State. That looked like a miserable experience. Now, I was watching it from the comfort of my home, okay, and had my feet up on the ottoman. You know, I had a nice drink in my hand, some snacks, and I'm watching it on the big screen, and it is awesome. I didn't get wet at all. You know, but that cold, wet rain, but man, there were some people there. Some of you were there, okay? Why? Because that's your thing. You're a fan. And you don't allow your life to miss those things. They're important to you. It's your time. I asked one time the lady that does Arlene's hair. It was going to be really bad. There was this bad storm coming, and I said to her, I said, Jen, boy, you're going to probably have a lot of cancellations, aren't you? And she said, you kidding me? I mean, weather may keep women from coming to church, but it doesn't make them miss their hair appointment. Okay? It's important, right? I mean, I think we just need to go and look through, you know, how we spend our time, what we give our time to, because I'll tell you what, while we might say of things of God that I don't have time, there are other things that we always have time for because they are important to us. If you love God, that'll be the first thing. You'll see it is your time. Number two is your money. It's your money. I mean, how many times has this happened to you? You know what? I can't give this week. We're going on vacation. You know, I can't give this week. I had to buy tires for my car. You know, I can't give this week. My hot water heater went out. Oh, I can't give this week. I have to make a payment on my kids' braces. You know, there's no greater barometer in life as to what is important to you as what you spend your money on. You know, I couldn't help but think this morning I'm back there and those boxes are just piling up back there for the Operation Christmas Child. What a beautiful thing. You know, a couple months ago we did the whole coat giveaway, and we gave away 250 coats to a needy community here in our community. Wonderful thing. You know, you got an opportunity this morning to go back to the giving tree back there. It's always amazing to me how much money we raise in that little red box in front of the Christmas tree back there. Take an ornament, put a nice donation in there. Every dime of it will go to help needy families during Christmas. You know, we have 158 families in First Church of Christ here that sponsor a Compassion International Child. There is nothing more telling about the important things in life than what we spend our money on. Make sure that you are giving regularly to the ministry and to the kingdom of God. See, because that's it. Time and money. And then the third thing is just everything. You see, I find that most people give very little to God when in reality God says give everything to Him. Make everything that you are, everything that you have, everything that you ever want to be available to Him. Because see, don't miss this. Actually, in Mark and in all the Gospels, he mentions this passage. But here he says the same thing where it says, and all your strength. You know, all these other parts of your life. And then he says, but and all your strength. Give God everything that you have in life. You know why? Because that's what you are made for. You know, this past week, I was on the phone with my grandson, Jack. He's 3 and a half. So Jack, Pappy, and Mims were coming to see you at Thanksgiving. He said, we're going to eat turkey with you. He said, I don't like turkey. And I said, oh, you're going to like turkey when I get there, okay? I mean, if you're part of this family, you like turkey. I'm going to have so much fun with this little guy at Thanksgiving because I'm going to show him how you put your all into this holiday. But how about our love for God? You know what? God doesn't ask very much, really, when you think about everything that He's done for you. He created us. He redeemed us. He gives us life abundant. And the promise is that when this life is over, we will continue with Him for all of eternity in that perfect place called heaven. And what does He ask in return? And you know, I think when you do these in a pure way, they're kind of easy. To love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Let's do that every day until that day we're together with Him for all of eternity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it is such a privilege just to read Your Word and to read about the creation story and how You were so intentional. Intentional, Lord, in creating the heavens and the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars. To creating everything, Lord, in this beautiful world. The mountains and the trees and the seas and the animals. And as Your Word said, Lord, the waters teemed with living creatures. And then, Lord, You created us in Your image and You said, take dominion over all that I've created. And even though, Lord, we did the one thing that could break all of that apart, and that was simply believing in the devil, Lord, to allow this other God, if you will, the God of this world, the prince of this world, to convince us, Lord, that You didn't have our best intentions at heart. And even though, Lord, we did that, you redeemed us. You forgave us. And really, Lord, the simple reason is because that's why we were made. Made for You, to love You, to serve You for all of eternity. So God, may we boil all of that down. Father, may we extrapolate out all the commands and all of the commands that they made up within the commands. And all the law, Lord, and all the legalism and everything. Father, may we just boil it down to loving You. To loving You with all that we are, and then loving others as ourselves. So, Father, I pray that as we sing this song about this one thing that, Lord, we would be encouraged to make that one commitment to you. For any, Lord, that are here that have never experienced you, Lord, by being born again, and Father, may you speak to them even now. And may we all make our commitments to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.